An historic announcement on Capitol Hill today from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry.
And at the United Nations, President Trump calls on world leaders to join forces against Iran.
Any kind of unified action, certainly any military action, was not addressed. On the contrary, he said that he's not looking for war with Iran and stressed that numerous times in different ways.
Plus, WeWork's Adam Newman is out of a job. It's Tuesday, September 24th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House is launching an official impeachment inquiry into President Trump following allegations he pressured a foreign leader to take actions to investigate a political rival, and that he's directed his National Intelligence Director to withhold information from Congress.
The actions taken to date by the president have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when the president says, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want.
This comes after allegations that the president may have pressured the Ukrainian president to work with his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son, Hunter, and that he withheld funds from the country. Democrats are also looking into a whistleblower complaint about Trump's interactions with former leaders, which involves the Ukraine call.
The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections.
The Wall Street Journal's Natalie Andrews reports from Capitol Hill that a groundswell has been building among Democrats for a while.
They see this as alarming. They see this as very concerning and a possibly an impeachable offense. They want an investigation into it. There's also the issue that this stems from a whistleblower allegation and that whistleblower allegations are supposed to be turned over to Congress after a certain period of time. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said today that if the whistleblower information is not turned over, then that is a violation of the law. So there's a few different strings here that are really fueling Democratic members into calling for impeachment. And also, I would add that this is something that they feel is concrete. It's simple. It's something the president did while in office or may have done. These are allegations. And so they also feel like it's something that they can really look at versus allegations that happened before Donald Trump was president.
President Trump on Tuesday said he would release a redacted transcript of the July call with Ukraine's president, tweeting it was very friendly and totally appropriate. For the latest on this developing story, please head to our website, WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Adam Newman, the embattled co-founder of WeWork, is stepping down as the company's CEO and ceding his majority control of the shared office startup. The Wall Street Journal's Maureen Farrell has the latest.
Over the last few weeks and months, investors have really questioned Adam Newman's fitness for the job, everything from his managerial style to the stock that he's already sold to the loans he's taken out, almost $1 billion worth of loans and stock sales related to his shares in the company. And most recently, last week, our colleague Elliot Brown published a story in which he reported that Adam Newman had traveled from New York to Israel on a plane transporting marijuana. And there are real concerns we've heard from advisors and investors about whether, you know, he could be held liable for committing a federal crime. And that seemed to weigh very much on whether or not he should be the one to take the company public.
WeWork has named two internal executives as co-CEOs of the company. WeWork had delayed an IPO earlier this month amid intense scrutiny from investors about its corporate governance. German prosecutors have charged three Volkswagen executives with misleading shareholders over the impact of the company's emissions cheating scandal. Among them, current CEO Herbert Diess, who joined the company just weeks before VW's emissions cheating scandal broke in 2015. Prosecutors say Diess was at a key meeting where they were informed of the details. Our William Boston explains.
At this meeting, an executive by the name of Oliver Schmidt actually presented a series of slides where they were talking about the diesel issue in the United States and potential fines of up to $37,500 per car. So what the prosecutors are saying is at that point, Diess and other executives who were at the meeting were fully aware that the costs, that the damages to VW could be enormous, and that they should have informed shareholders. The question for Diess, and this is really going to be in terms of Volkswagen's operations going forward and its efforts to improve its public image in the wake of the diesel affair, is whether or not someone who was really at the company for 3 weeks before realizing that they have this problem, whether he can really be held accountable for not informing shareholders, or whether or not that was, you know, someone else's responsibility.
Prosecutors have also charged VW chairman Hans-Dieter Putsch and former CEO Martin Winterkorn, saying all three men had a responsibility to inform shareholders that the company was under investigation and could be liable for potential damages in the billions. Volkswagen and the three accused have rejected Tuesday's indictment as groundless. President Trump spoke to the UN General Assembly on Tuesday, making a big push for American sovereignty, deriding China and defending his trade policies, while calling on world leaders to put pressure on Iran. The Wall Street Journal's Vivian Salama joins me from the UN with more. So, Vivian, last year, President Trump's speech was very much America first, and this one did start out that way. We heard him talk about national renewal and reject globalism. Overall, what did you make of his tone this year at the United Nations?
So I think he's just trying to ensure a lot of countries around the world that he is not going to use force unnecessarily, but he does believe that as president of the United States, he has a duty to protect the interests of America, whether that be economic or national security interests. And he wouldn't be afraid to have to pursue any extreme measures if it came down to that. But ultimately, you know, he tried to enforce this message of peace, saying, I'm not looking for war with Iran in particular, was where he stressed that point.
So let's talk about Iran. We did know heading into Trump's speech today that the administration has been working to rally support to put more pressure on Iran. Trump also said explicitly in his speech that Iran is responsible for attacks on Saudi Arabia's oil facilities. And he said all nations have a duty to act.
No responsible government should subsidize Iran's bloodlust. As long as Iran's menacing behavior continues, sanctions will not be lifted. They will be tightened.
Vivian, how is that call for international support on pressuring Iran being received?
A number of countries definitely believe that some action needs to be taken. A number of European countries on Monday actually came together and issued a joint statement saying that there should be some action taken because they blamed Iran for the attacks. Prior to Tuesday, Secretary of State Pompeo had come out also and had said that he believed that Iran was responsible for the attacks as well. And so essentially the president just wanted to rally support and say that this behavior cannot be tolerated. The international community has to do something to really prevent Iran from expanding its influence in the region and essentially trying to target Western allies. But the issue is he didn't really offer a lot of suggestions. He did point to his own administration's efforts to impose really intense sanctions on Iran in order to force it to comply. But any kind of unified action, certainly any military action, was not addressed. On the contrary, he said that he's not looking for war with Iran and stressed that numerous times in different ways. One of the other things that he kept on saying is that Iran really needs to think of the needs of its own people if it's basically going to be accepted into the global community. And so a lot of the same rhetoric that we had heard from him previously on Iran, but certainly a call for a unified front was something that we expected and definitely what he delivered on.
Trade, of course, was another big theme this year, and Trump took China to task for a number of things: currency manipulation, intellectual property theft. Interestingly, he said the world is also watching when it comes to unrest in Hong Kong.
The world fully expects that the Chinese government will honor its binding treaty made with the British and registered with the United Nations, in which China commits to protect Hong Kong's freedom, legal system, and democratic ways of life. How China chooses to handle the situation will say a great deal about its role in the world in the future.
how does the mention of Hong Kong really tie into potentially Trump's strategy heading into trade talks with China next month?
His comments about China and Hong Kong specifically were, in my mind, some of the most interesting and unique in terms of things that we've heard him say in the past. He was pretty forceful on China with regard to trade issues. And then on Hong Kong, the president has always taken a very measured approach to the issue of Hong Kong until today. While it wasn't as forceful as maybe some members of Congress have been or other nations as far as condemning China for clashes in Hong Kong against these protesters, the fact that he even called upon China to respect its old treaties with the British with regard to Hong Kong and to respect the rule of law and democracy in Hong Kong was very significant and surely something that they're watching very closely in Beijing. It's a very touchy issue for them. And as their talks go on, continue to achieve a trade deal, certainly this is something for the U.S. administration to watch, but also China is going to be watching closely how the U.S. reacts to it.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Vivian Salama joining me from the United Nations here in New York. And finally, average SAT scores dropped last year, according to data released by the College Board on Tuesday, showing a greater percentage of students not ready for college. The College Board says the results were to be expected. Last year, a record 2.2 million high schoolers took the test. And more are taking the exam for free during school hours, meaning a more diverse pool, including students who are more likely to be minority, attend public schools with higher poverty rates, and have parents without college degrees. On the other hand, many colleges are dropping the SAT altogether in an attempt to level the playing field for underrepresented students. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.